Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
And all of a sudden in the Christian church, everything they had known in Corinth was turned upside down. Corinth thought that sex was easy. Sex was easy. Money was sacred. Paul comes to the Christian church and said, it's the other way around. Sex is sacred and money is easy.
The truth is, sex is beautiful inside marriage, but deadly outside of it. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young begins his message, The Body, and shares the proven truth that sex is a beautiful, sacred act God designed for marriage. And when it happens outside of God's design, it's addictive and destructive. You want to hear these words today, up next on The Winning Walk. Before we get to Dr. Young's message, there's a lot we can learn from observing God's creation. And sometimes the most profound lessons come from the most unlikely places. Dr. Young wants to help you build your home according to God's design with his devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. It'll bless you and help you apply biblical principles and lessons from nature to whatever stage you find yourself in your family and marriage. We'll send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word WINNING to 41411. Text WINNING to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has The Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, The Body.
Some things that you remember for a long, long time, other things you just forget. But if a picture is involved, somehow we're able to remember better because there is a frame of reference. I remember years ago seeing a picture of a billboard in Atlanta, Georgia, on Peachtree Street. Big old billboard there, and on the billboard said, if you're tired of sin, call 1-800-734-2286. Now somebody, after the billboard was erected, crawled up there, and where it said, if you're tired of sin, call, they wrote down in big chalk letters, if not, call 8434. And they got all kind of calls, I am told. Sin. Somebody said sin in the modern world is an anachronism. It's an error in respect to time because, you know, sin is covered up. It's explained away. It's been expedited. It's been kicked out of our vocabulary. So we always go back, what is sin? Sin basically is living your own life in your own terms. That's it. Instead of living an abundant life that Jesus promised in his terms. So we know in our culture today, as in the culture in Corinth, that's where we've been for several weeks. We're walking through 1 Corinthians. And as we have studied Corinth, we've seen this sure does sound familiar because Corinth was an amazing city there in the early centuries. We need to keep everything in context. So let's be reminded something about where Corinth was and what was going on in that amazing city. We know that when the Roman Empire was being formed by Alexander and others, ancient Corinth was flattened at about 146 BC, obliterated. And then for 100 years, nothing was there. But when Augustus Caesar was on the throne of the empire, he said, we've got to reinstate Corinth. Corinth was too strategic in its location. Remember, it was on that little isthmus that connects northern part of Greece with the southern part of Greece. Just 4 miles. Also, it was used as a connecting link between the Ionian Sea and the Aegean Sea. Just 4 miles. The ships would come and unload and carry the cargo 4 miles and get another ship and go through rather than going around the point. It would save lives and save hours in transporting materials. East, west, north, south, strategic point. So Augustus said, rebuild the city. So in about 46 BC all the way to 50 AD, they built there in that strategic location what became one of the largest, most affluent cities in the world. Who inhabited ancient Corinth? Primarily young men. They came from all over the world, all kind of backgrounds, all kind of cultures, all kind of languages, and they went to Corinth to make money. They left their families, and therefore you had a whole lot of hormones operating independent of family. Do you see the setting? It became a center for decadence, and we know already that the skyline of Corinth, on the top of the mountain there, overlooking Corinth, there was a temple to Aphrodite. There's a temple to Venus. And all these temples specialize in sexuality. Over 1,000 prostitutes would come down to Corinth and sell their wares every day. Sex was equated with worship, with God. And they had all kinds of people, all kinds of temples. And in this kind of environment, imagine it, the Apostle Paul comes and he establishes a Christian church. Most unlikely place on the planet. And all of a sudden, in the Christian church, everything they had known in Corinth was turned upside down. Corinth thought that sex was easy. Sex was easy. Money was sacred. Paul comes to the Christian church and says, it's the other way around. Sex is sacred and money is easy. So all of a sudden you have this little group of people there in a culture that was totally sexualized. Sexualized. So the church takes a stand for purity. The Christians understood that sex was invented by God. People say, oh, really? That's stunning. Sex is sacred. It is holy. It is special. What is it for? Procreation? Have babies for pleasure, and also it is for a symbol, a beautiful symbol, a metaphor of how you and I come to a relationship with God through Jesus Christ in marriage. In marriage. But in the modern church, and I want to say this reverently and carefully, a lot of people want to sleep with God, but they don't want to marry God. We want a little bit of God, enough of God, enough of church, but we don't want to enter into an intimate relationship as is the symbol of intimacy in marriage. And all of this involved in the sacredness of our sex, of gender, of who we are, and of the most intimate, beautiful relationship on the planet. In marriage, there is to be celebration. Those who are unmarried, there is to be purity and chastity. And so we come to Corinth, a totally sexualized culture. We have the church there that all of a sudden the culture of Corinth begins to flow into the church. And we've already seen that as we talked about a sexual sin right up in our study. A prominent member of the church was guilty of incest. And they hadn't looked over that. He was so wealthy, so well known. Everybody knew about it. And all of a sudden, the Corinthians, they said, you know, the church is almost like we are. They just don't tell it. They have an underground relationships there. So the witness of Christ was being muted. It was being pushed away. The exclusivity of God in Christ and his formula and plan for a life that's in this life and beyond this life was being pushed away. So we know that Corinth was totally sexualized. I'll tell you something else. The United States of America has been totally sexualized. List all the problems we have. Name them. Bang, 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 bang. And with few exceptions, it revolves around the misunderstanding or the misuse of this most sacred relationship of sexuality. We have been sexualized like Corinth. Corinth was 4 miles wide and 4 miles deep in all their sexual confusion. The United States today is what? 2,800 miles wide and almost 1,600 miles deep. And in this culture, we have been too sexualized. Now, I thought about this and I said, where is there an illustration? Where is there something that we can use to parallel how all of us, everybody here, somebody say, I've never had a problem with sex. You'd be a liar. You'd not be telling the truth. All the way through our development, from puberty forward, there's so much confusion, so much misinformation, and now all of this has been exploded into areas that we sit back and say, I can't believe it. And I thought about kudzu. Know what kudzu is? It's a southern vine, a plant that is carnivorous, to say the least. It is fluent. Kudzu came into America from the Orient in 1846. It came in a little pot. It had purple flowers, a beautiful aroma. It was growing, lovely, 1846. But soon they discovered that kudzu could be used on the banks of rivers and it would prevent erosion. And so they planted it only to discover you just can't control kudzu. It just grows, it expands, and everybody in the world has tried to kill it in different ways. You can burn it, it'll come back. You can take and uproot it, and some seeds will be there, it'll come back. You can take insecticides, you can take herbicides, put it on, it will come back. You can try to smother it, that's the best thing. Or you can put walls around it, it'll grow over it. In fact, today in the United States of America, listen, over 7 million acres are covered in kudzu. It grows about 120,000 acres a year and sometimes a foot a day. You say, well, what is 7 million acres? 7 million acres would cover the state of Virginia. It's pervasive. It grows. It consumes. Much like the sexual drive that God has given us, when it gets out of control. Kudzu wraps around us. It did in the days of the Corinthian church, and it is still wrapping around us as we as a nation have become almost totally sexualized. So Paul addresses this problem very clearly. He's already talked about incest. The church disciplined this man, but we have the beautiful truth. He was disciplined because of immorality in 1 Corinthians, but in 2 Corinthians, we see the beautiful story of they brought him back. He came back in faith. He's restored fully in the life of Christ, the healing and forgiveness of the body through Christ. We see that. We've been through that. But now we come to the end of the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And this end of the 6th chapter is sort of a prelude as we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And ladies and gentlemen, you have never seen anything in sexual confusion and a jungle like we're going to walk in as we go into 1 Corinthians chapter 7. So Paul is sort of getting some things straight, some presuppositions, some foundations before we get into the kudzu jungle as he walks us through all kinds of sexual perversion and relationships. So let's look at the end of 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12 through verse 20. Hope you have your Bibles with you. If not, take your computers or your iPhone and turn to 1 Corinthians 12, 20. You can dial it in, speak it in. Maybe you have an app there already. Let's look at it. Profound words from God's man. Chapter 6, verse number 12. And he says, I have the right to do anything. And he says that twice. I have the right to do anything. In one verse, Paul says, I have the right to do anything. And then before he gets into the explanation of that, and I'm sure he said that, he puts that phrase in context. We have to do that. For example, I could say, I love to go out in the ocean, or I love to take cruises, but I don't do it because every time I've done it, I get sick, seasick. So you could quote me and say, Edwin Young loves to take cruises, but he doesn't do it because he gets seasick. Now take that out of context. You'd say, Edwin Young loves to take cruises. Is that right? No. I get seasick. I've tried it. I've tried all the other remedies. I don't want any input there. Somebody told me the better coordination you have, you're more apt to get seasick. I accept that. But see, you could quote that out of context. You could say, Edwin Young loves to cruise. No, I don't. But take it out of context. That's exactly what happened with the Apostle Paul. He is setting the record straight on a couple of things that the Corinthians were quoting him about. They were saying, Paul said, everything is right to me. I can do anything and everything. And then Paul puts that in context and said, wait a minute. There are a couple of limitations. And we know why he would have said in teaching the church, I can do anything. He was trying to explain to them that Christianity is not a do and don't religion, like mostly all the other religions that they had and all their other religions of the world. He said, Christianity is a relationship with God Almighty provided for us by way and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I can do all things, but only in Christ. Little different. I can do all things only in Christ. And then he says there are two limitations to this, and he was trying to explain the difference in legalism and freedom. Freedom can lead to license unless it's put in banks. Limitation, Paul says, I can do all things, and then he says the first limitation here. But not everything is beneficial. To understand that in the context of the Greek, he is saying, I can do all things, but everything is not beneficial. And he's talking in a sexual context here, He said, not everything is beneficial because in sex, the implication is someone else is involved. He understood that we are our brother's keeper. So therefore, the sexual act is not something that's done in isolation because someone else is involved. He said, this is where abstention comes. Remember our principle in marriage celebration. Outside of marriage, purity, chastity. And that is our principle. Paul said, I can do all things, but I don't have that kind of so-called freedom, which ends up in bondage, which we've already been saying about, have we not? We already heard about. It leads to bondage. So that would say, well, I'm free to do anything. But when we do anything and everything, particularly and especially in the sexual area, it involves somebody else and we end up in bondage. Bondage. We live in a crazy world in the sexualization of America. Have you noticed? Someone told me, I've never done it, but you can pick up the phone and you can call Uber, and they have Uber Foods, and they will bring to your house a hamburger for the guy and enchiladas for the wife, and zip. Amazing. That's our society.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Philemon 10 and 12. I appeal to you, my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back, said Paul. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart. Now Onesimus was a slave who had run away from his master Philemon. He sought out Paul, who shared the gospel of Christ with him and discipled him. During their time together, Paul invested his spiritual and emotional heart and his devotion to wisdom into Onesimus. God has Onesimus for you and for me, a person to whom he wants us to invest our hearts, our devotion, our wisdom. So ask God to show you the person you should be discipling, and remember, those you disciple will always have a piece of your heart in them. As they mature and invest in others, they will actually be passing on that peace of your heart and devotion to Christ. What a blessing. So thank God today for Paul, who led you to Christ, and for Onesimus. He wants you to disciple.
We hope today's message has been a source of encouragement for you, and we'd love to help you build a strong marriage and home by sending you Dr. Young's devotional book called Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home. God has a wonderful design for your home in which He wants to build your family and marriage. In His 90-day devotional book, Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home, Dr. Young draws on lessons from nature, God's Word, and personal experience to help you have the godly marriage God wants for you. And each daily devotional takes just 15 minutes, so even the busiest couple can find time for it. We're excited to send you a copy of Cardinal Rules for a Happy Home as thanks for your gift to help keep The Winning Walk strong, encouraging you and people all over the world with the proven truth of God's Word. So call now and give and request your copy. 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for joining us today. Come back tomorrow for the conclusion of Dr. Young's message as he explores how sex affects both your body and soul. That's next time on The Winning Walk.